I'd like to inform all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the IGO-INGO Working Group call on Wednesday, 11 September 2013. On the call today, we have Tim Beckhoff, Elizabeth Finberg, Chuck Gomes, Stefan Hankins, David Hisley, Jude Lotter, Griffin Barnett, Osvaldo Novoa, Thomas Rickett. We have apologies from Guylaine Fournet. And from staff, we have Barry Cobb, Mary Wong, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Thomas.
Thank you so much, Julia. Welcome, everybody, to this week's telephone conference. We've scheduled this again for 2 hours, and given the level of activity on the mailing list, I think that we might pretty well exhaust that, and I would love to be presently surprised to see that we can end it early. But we will see that in the course of this call. First of all, I'd like to ask you whether you have any questions with respect to the agenda, and also whether there are any updates to statements of interest. Okay, hearing and reading none, we can move straight away to the second agenda item, which is the review of the draft final report, which only went out to you quite shortly before this call. So we would very much understand if you didn't have the opportunity to go through the report and get back to us with your request for changes or just applause, which is also possible. I guess that anyway, our task and challenge for today is to discuss the assessment of a consensus level for the various recommendations that are on the table. So I guess that we should start with that. I heard somebody making an intervention. So I guess we should start with that. And I guess that we... I would like to hear from you whether you had any questions with respect to the approach that I took. I know that I've been quite brief in my explanations in the covering note that I send out together with the assessment of the consensus level, and I refer to last week's call, where I have described the approach that I took. I do not want to repeat myself in great length, so in the absence of any questions from your side, I would recommend that for the sake of saving time, we enter into discussion straight away. But before I get to the first comment that we received, I wanted to give you the opportunity to ask clarifying questions with respect to how I approach this challenging task. Okay, so don't be afraid that you lost an opportunity to ask questions. If you don't speak up now or if you don't raise your hand now, please do so later as we move along. But then I would suggest that we maybe talk about the question that was raised by Chuck in his email. I guess Chuck was the first person to respond to the consensus call with quite a detailed response to my assessment of the consensus level. And Chuck, thanks so much for taking the time to do so. And I have to say that this was very helpful for me to receive your feedback. To see whether I was sort of that was sort of a sanity check, where you were the first person to help me. Chuck, I would like to give you the opportunity to ask the question again about the specific recommendation that you alluded to, but also feel free to touch upon other recommendations that you had questions about.
Thanks, Thomas. Let me qualify what I'm going to say with saying that I'm perfectly willing to accept your assessment as is. I thought it might be helpful to discuss it a little bit. It your assessment didn't seem quite as clear as some of the others to me. All of the others I was personally comfortable with in terms of the assessment. The second qualifying comment is that I think it's important for us to discuss any ones like the one I identified today. But at the end of the meeting, I would hope that we can agree to move forward as quickly as possible with the final report and get that to the council. If your assessments aren't perfect, I think there's opportunity through the comment period and through the bottom-up process with the council for us to iron out any places where maybe there might be disagreement among us. That said, I think I said on the list my comments in an exchange with Alan on the one recommendation that wasn't as obvious. It was one of the INGO recommendations. It wasn't clear cut to me. One of my concerns, as I communicated to Alan, was that there was one stakeholder group who supported the recommendation, and one advisory committee representative that did so, and several individuals. And I guess my concern looking forward was, okay, this is ultimately going to be reviewed by the whole GNSO and via the council, and with no other support from SGs or constituencies, I wondered whether it should be called strong support. Now, I confess, I don't know whether we should be looking at it that way or not. But that's the way I looked at it, and all I'm doing is sharing with you, and I welcome and respect other people's views on this. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Chuck. And if I remember correctly, in your email you also asked, or you said that you would be eager to hear my rationale for that specific point, and I'm certainly willing to share my thinking with you. Now, what we have received as written responses to the consensus call is sort of a snapshot of the thinking of those who actually took the time or had the opportunity to respond in writing to the consensus call. Nonetheless, what we did in this working group was an iterative process, and as you will remember, when we looked at the working group guidelines, the finding of consensus or the determination of consensus should be an iterative process. And so I thought it would not be accurate to completely neglect the opportunity, opinions and the views that have been shared by the groups that have joined our discussions, but that have not provided us with written statements, or I should rather say that have not yet, in part, provided us with written statements. So I actually tried to go through all the documentation that we had and also looked at some of the calls that we had to determine what the consensus level is. And certainly this is true for the other recommendations as well, but I have to confess that this very recommendation was a specifically challenging task. And I would also like to use this opportunity to elaborate a little bit on or add to the exchange of views that has taken place on the mailing list in the last couple of days, and that's with respect to not all groups in the GNSO, in the contracted and in the non-contracted parties house, having participate in the consensus call. And there was mention of the BC, of the ISPs, and the registrar stakeholder group. And in fact, we have reached out to all three of them. We do not yet have feedback from the BC other than feedback saying that they that they're seeking to provide us with input, but I was sort of living in the dark with respect to that group. I had the opportunity to exchange thoughts with Osvaldo from the ISPs, who have only a few minutes back provided their written input. And I also had an exchange of thoughts with the registrars, who I expect to provide input in written form very shortly. And this is these are views that I also incorporated into my thinking when determining that for this special, for this particular recommendation, there would be strong support but significant objection. So Chuck pointed out, and this is just a fact, that we have support with opposition from NCSG, that ALEC supported, but that apart from that, there is no support from any other of the groups that we, that I just referred to. So I would like to give other members of the working group the opportunity to chime in and join this this discussion. Certainly, I have not encouraged you to help me making this determination if I didn't have the plan to seriously take into account your suggestions. So I would very much welcome your feedback on this one. But I guess that if once we move to other recommendations that have been commented, we will have more opportunity to discuss what has been what has been proposed by me as the appropriate determination of consensus. But nonetheless, I guess we all have to remind ourselves that this is not done by mere counting. This shall reflect the views inside the working group. It's not a vote. And therefore, I didn't just add up the responses that we got, but I tried to put this and amalgamate this into a bigger picture. But I see Chuck's hand up, so please, Chuck.
Thanks again, Thomas. Since I was hoping others would speak up, but since they're not, is it fair to me to assume that I'm the only one that has a concern about Thomas's categorization of this level of support for Recommendation 3 under INGOs? If so, then I think we can just move on and use his assessment in that regard, pending whatever he receives in the very near term from any other SGs or SOs or participants in the group.
Thanks, Chuck. So you've heard Chuck's question, and I think it's a very wise approach. And thank you for your flexibility with this, Chuck. Flexibility, I mean, in the best sense. But I guess that we will have to go through this exercise with other recommendations as well. Again, and I hope to have made this sufficiently clear in my covering note as well as during last week's call. This discussion is not about whether you think that the recommendation is a recommendation that should be implemented, or whether you're against the substance of the recommendation. This is merely, not merely, I mean, it's quite a huge task, but this is actually to see whether I have grasped the atmosphere inside this working group and the wider community that is not with us today in this call adequately. So I thought this would be strong support with significant opposition. and unless others join Chuck in his concerns that actually it would be closer to divergence than to strong support with significant opposition, I think we should set this item aside. Certainly there's the opportunity for you to get back to this as we talk, and then move to the next item. And in order to do that, I have to look at an email sent by Alan. And Barry, maybe you can help me finding the next recommendation that we should look at.
Hi, Thomas. This is Barry. His email response was from September 10th, replying back to Chuck's, I believe. And I pasted what he sent in his email over on the left-hand pane. And I believe he was first talking about the Olympic Committee protections, which...
Okay, so let's talk about the IOC recommendations then. So the first item, is Alan with us already? No. And Julia, did you mention an apology from Alan, or can we expect him to join?
I have not noted Alan's apology.
Thank you, Julia. So
there are no apologies for Alan.
Okay. Thank you. So maybe Alan's going to join, but nonetheless, I guess we should proceed with our discussion on this. So IOC 1, that's the top-level protection for exact match, full name, scope 1 identifiers. He said that this looks more like strong support with significant objection to him, and I would like to open the floor to... discuss this. I guess that Alan has clarified in his exchange with Chuck that he has based his comments primarily on the on the written responses that we received. So I should note that this has changed in the meantime. So we have the ISPs supporting this recommendation, and we can expect the registrars also to support it. I would have loved to ask Alan whether this adequately addresses his concerns, but I think we're safe to say, with incorporating those views, that actually we do have. I think I called it consensus, right? Any more views on that from the group?
Yes, that's correct. The document you sent out did show consensus for 1 and 2, and I believe strong support and significant opposition for 3 and 4.
Thomas?
Jim, please.
Yeah, I would just note that I received an email. I think everybody received an email earlier from Sam Paltridge at the OECD, where he says in his memo, which is about IGOs, predominantly, but he does say that he supports the GAC advice, which is a broader statement, I think, reflects on the full GAC advice for all groups.
Thanks, Jim. And certainly reference to GAC advice is possible, and thanks for reminding the group of the existing GAC advice. I think that this is a good opportunity for me to comment on that. I wanted to keep that for later, but now that you refer to the GAC advice, I'm happy to put it on the table now. Jim, you're certainly correct that the GAAP advice that was referred to speaks in favor of the IOC. Nonetheless, the working group guidelines and other documents related to our work do not specify any obligation for PDP working groups to ensure that they're consistent with GAAP advice. So GAAP advice is binding for the ICANN board. It's not binding for PDP working groups. I have mentioned this when we started our work already because I think that our bottom-up consensus-driven work should not primarily focus on following advice that has been raised by supporting organizations or advisory committees. It is, you know, and I hope you forgive me or that you can follow me with this broader statement. The GAAC's role is certainly a special one with the legal nature of GAAC advice given. But there's also advice coming from SSAC, for example, when it comes to security aspects. All this external advice is certainly something that the working group should know in the course of its deliberations. And we spoke earlier about the risk of having a policy clash, which would be regrettable if there were parallel discussions coming to different results. Nonetheless, in the first phase, from a policy perspective or from the perspective of the framework that we're working on in the GAAC advice would not be binding for us. So I perceived the statement that was made by the IGOs more as a minority statement that should go into the report, highlighting the fact that they do not think that their views have been adequately respected or followed, particularly in the light of the GAAC advice. But our discussion at the moment should focus on the assessment of the consensus level, which is a completely different matter. And I guess that we can talk about the recommendations that made their way into the table of recommendations that we voiced, but I guess that there have been ample opportunities for each and every group, as well as each and every working group member, to make themselves heard. And I guess that, and the group has confirmed this, that the recommendations that we put into the consensus call pretty much reflected what the atmosphere inside the working group was. But let's move to Chuck now and then to Greg.
Thomas, can I just reply to, I think you misconstrued my comment.
I didn't mean to, but please do clarify, Jim.
My comment was not about the GAAC advice per se and the working group's obligation to either follow or not follow it. My comment was that the IGOs have indicated a support for the GAAC advice as far as the three groups that the GAAC advice is directed to, which was a new thing because in the chart that they, the responses they made on the consensus call, they left all the groups except themselves blank.
Thanks for this, Jim. And I didn't mean to misconstrue your statement. I guess that it was just a welcome opportunity for me to respond to the issue of GAAC advice in a little broader manner. So,
I would add one other thing, Thomas, and that is obviously you've mentioned that we're waiting for a response from the registrar group, but also I would mention that the business constituency, who have been absent from a lot of our calls, have in the past supported the position on both Red Cross and IOC.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us of that. And I guess that as we discuss the various recommendations, we will also take into the equation the responses from the ISPs as well as the registrars, and I guess we should also look at what the effect of an answer of the BC would be and whether that would actually affect the consensus level. But thanks for that, Jim, and now it's Chuck's turn.
Thanks, Thomas, and I want to thank Sam for the message he sent. I had hoped to respond to it on the list, but this call is preceded by a two-hour registry stakeholder call, so there was an opportunity. First of all, I totally agree that we should respect the GAC advice. In fact, I can say that the respect that the registry stakeholder group had towards GAC advice on these areas was a big matter in terms of the decisions that we made in terms of what recommendations we support. Now, we didn't support all of the GAC recommendations, as you know. But we need to, as Thomas said, the GAC is an advisory committee, and it is advice. If we were to, any time the GAC gave advice on what they determined to be public policy matters, that we just take that as verbatim and that's what we do, then we've all of a sudden made the GAC a policy-making development body, and that would drastically change the ICANN model for policy development. So respecting their advice and just taking it as is, and if the GAC says it, it's policy, we have then turned the GAC into a policy-making body. Now, with regard to the, I guess, the second paragraph where it says the subjects of international law with states, you know, one of the things we did as a working group was to try and get guidance from the General Counsel's office with regard to the clarity of international law with regard to these issues. And if international law was explicit, no questions asked, it would have been an easy task for us. In the registry stakeholder group, we didn't see it as being that explicit or clear with regard to domain names. So and I think we spent a lot of time in the working group about that. So the fact that there are differences with GAC advice, I think, is a reasonable outcome, and that kind of outcome has occurred in other PDPs in the past. And so unless we're going to make the GAC a policymaking body, it's appropriate for us as a working group to take that advice, respect it, consider it strongly, but then come to our own conclusion. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. Greg is next.
Thanks. This is Greg Shatton. First, you know, Chuck said quite a lot of what I wanted to say, so I will concur with what Chuck had to say. I think that there are obviously bigger issues at play here in the relationship of the GNSO and the GAC and the board and the development of policy and implementation of those policies. I don't think that there is a relationship between GAC advice and GNSO policy that requires us to respect that advice in the sense of respecting it as final writ. We can respect it, and the GAC can also respect GNSO policy as a matter of respect among bodies which are, in to some extent, co-equal, you know, playing different roles, but, you know, we're not bound to follow GAC advice. We may agree with it. We may agree with a lot of it, but that doesn't mean that we're somehow restricted by it. You know, I think there are larger issues that, you know, may need to be, you know, visited and revisited, whether it's by the policy and implementation working group or by other bodies within and around ICANN. But you know, this is—it's not something that we are bound to follow. And I don't think, you know, again, the international law that we were made aware of, you know, to my mind, doesn't require preemptive protections, does require, or, you know, seems to require some avenues for protection, or such some avenues that would be desirable, but there's no, you know, particular outcome. You know, obviously we'd love to be able to say that preemptive protection should be available for, you know, trademarks and other forms of intellectual property as well. I haven't found a basis for that. I don't think there's a separate basis, you know, for IGOs that would require, you know, any preemptive or preventative protection. And, you know, saying that they must receive it is a position, but I don't think there's any legal basis for the must in that position. You know, I think that GNSO or, you know, GTLD policy is to be set, or at least the recommendations, you know, for the board are to be set, you know, in the GNSO. And that's the question, you know, that's something that the GAC should respect. I think, you know, I would also mention, picking up on something I think Jim said earlier, I was disappointed to see that some, you know, groups or, you know, individuals that have participated in this working group, and I thought were participating in this working group as kind of full members, when it came to the consensus call, really only just responded with regard to their own interests. And I'm, you know, very disappointed in that. You know, I think that everyone who participates in working groups should participate in the development of policy recommendations and not merely as lobbyists or shills for their organizations. And, you know, I don't particularly have any dogs in this fight, so I'm happy to provide on behalf of the IPC, you know, advice on all of the recommendations. But I think that, you know, there needs to be some thought given perhaps to organizations that are, you know, or individuals that are participating as mere lobbyists, as opposed to, you know, those that are participating in good faith to develop policy recommendations more broadly. And maybe we need to look at how those roles are defined in the future, because I think it somewhat perverts the kind of the working group dynamic and even its credibility. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And I think we're not close to a dogfight, though. I like the analogy. You will remember that I on multiple occasions encouraged working group members to respond to each and every specific recommendation. And for those that have not yet done so, you know, you can still avail yourself of this opportunity. Alan is next, and I would suggest that we cut the queue on the GAC-related discussion after Alan, and then get back to discussing the policy or the recommendations. And should we have more time left, then we can get back to the statements made by the IGOs. Alan, please.
Thank you. By the way, I apologize for being late. I had to go out and didn't make it back as quickly as I hoped. I find myself agreeing almost completely with everything the last few speakers said. And I particularly want to restate the what Greg just said of the new phenomena that we're seeing in this working group, which I don't believe we've ever seen before in a PDP working group, of groups who are here just to, I guess lobby is the correct word, if they are indeed not participating in the other parts of the discussions, and that does change the working group model significantly. And, you know, it's hard to understand, it's hard to accept how those views should be put into a consensus call result when, you know, they're taking one position only and not involving themselves in the other parts and putting a stake in the ground, so to speak. So I think it's an interesting new problem in the overall discussion of PDPs that we haven't seen before. With regard to GAC advice, I'll simply point out that the board is not obliged to take GAC advice. They have to come up with a rationale why. There's a process to be followed, but ultimately there are issues in which the board may choose to differ. And I can't see why the GNSO or a PDP would be held to more stringent requirements of obeying without thinking the process through itself. I mean, I'm part of an advisory group. I would be delighted if everything we said was simply implemented and no questions asked. But there's, you know, multi-stakeholder means multi-stakeholder. There is more than one view here. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. You brought up something which you yourself called a new facet or a new aspect of working group work, and that is how to deal with parties participating in a consensus call that do not respond to all aspects of the consensus call. And I guess that while it would have been advisable and while I did, as chair, encourage every participant to respond to all recommendations that were made, I also pointed out that certainly there is no obligation or no way for us to force everybody to respond to each and every recommendation. And, you know, I would have some difficulties with excluding those views that, in my view, are valuable and also the things that remained unsaid or unwritten in the formal consensus call do not tell the whole story. So, you know, in the consensus or in the assessment of the consensus level, I also try to grasp the atmosphere with respect to the other recommendations where no written feedback was provided. So I think that unless you, unless more people in the working group would like to open a discussion on whether those views should be entirely concluded, excluded from our deliberations, we should, I suggest, just leave it as is and take the information that we have. Next is Judd, please.
Thomas, if I might give a clarification, I wasn't saying they did anything illegal or that you should have acted any differently. I'm just saying it raises a new aspect which we haven't thought of before.
Which is correct. And if I, you know, before moving to Judd, let me add that I guess that that this particular working group is also a very particular species in the ICANN environment with so many recommendations that are being discussed. So I think that, you know, maybe it's due to the nature of the work that we've been tasked with as well that we see this these new phenomena. Judd, please.
It's Jim, Thomas.
Excuse me. Jim, please.
I just wanted to say that I agree with Alan and I agree with Greg to the extent that if somebody's a member of a working group, they should participate on all the subjects in the working group and not just on their own behalf. And I think we and the IGOs have followed that by commenting on other groups and answering most of the questions. And you can see it in our responses, and I think you can see it in the response sent from the IGOs this morning. So I think at least two of the four groups have followed that your advice on responding to more than just their own concerns.
Thanks, Jim. Now, we have taken a look at the IOC 1 recommendation, and Alan, just to fill you in briefly, I explained that, and this is also relevant for the IOC 2 recommendation where you thought it would be or you think that it should be more strong support but significant objection. I also took into the equation the feedback that I got from the ISPs, which you now find in the document in the Adobe, as well as the feedback from the registrars, which in my view make the determination for both recommendations, IOC 1 and IOC 2, consensus. Alan, I don't want to put you on the spot because you joined this call just a moment ago, but nonetheless, I'd like to be interested in hearing whether your concerns with my assessment have been addressed with the facts that I just presented.
If you now have strong support or support from two other groups you didn't have before, then that at the very least differentiates 1 and 2 from 3 and 4. I'm assuming you didn't have similar support from them on 3 and 4. In which case, or if you did, I'm not sure. Are you changing 3 and 4 also now?
No, I have not planned to change.
And my question is, what's differentiating 1 and 2 from 3 and 4?
Okay, so you were...
I can't scroll. If whoever's controlling the screen is now showing me 3 and 4. I don't remember. I didn't memorize 1 and 2. Are 1 and 1 in the original document you sent out? 1 and 2 were virtually identical with 3 and 4. Is that still the case?
They are not identical. I mean, well, it's difficult to juggle the with the documents now.
This is Barry. I've given everybody else individual control on the document, but to Alan's point, I think he is correct that essentially the same responses. This version that we have in front of us includes the ISPCP response that was just sent out this morning. It's not what I've sent out to the list in previous. And as we get the registrars and hopefully the BCs in the near term, I'll send that back out. But again, to Alan's point, even before the ISPCP, the responses that were in the cells were virtually the same, I believe.
I'm trying to understand the difference between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4.
Well, if there is actually no difference, then they should all be consensus.
My recollection is, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble parsing this right now. My recollection is in general, if you found two large groups as opposed to individuals objecting to something, you tended to use strong support but significant opposition. Here, I'm not quite sure, is NCSG supporting these or not supporting these?
They're not.
Okay. Then I'm not sure why this is different from the others, where my recollection is, in any case, when I did this, is that two non-individuals or two groups objecting to something yielded strong support, significant support, but strong opposition, whereas one group objecting to it yielded a consensus. I'm just looking for consistency. You know, as long as we're being consistent through the document, then I'm fine. But I don't sense that we have that level of consistency here.
Okay, so you would tag it all consensus now, right?
No, if we have NCSG and ALAC objecting, I think that pattern in other places yielded strong support, but significant opposition. That's my recollection. If someone wants to point to where I'm wrong, I'm happy to, to disagree. I don't have all the documents in front of me with the previous versions. Let's look at some other strong support, but the next one on section 5 is in that category.
I guess that Jim, you were millisecond earlier than Chuck raised his hand, so please.
I was just going to say, I think, nobody's saying there's full consensus here, but I think that with the addition of the two groups and also we think the business constituency will weigh in the same way, I think that, not full consensus. I think consensus is a position where a minority disagrees but most agree, especially if we factor in the business constituency, which has not been done yet. But I would think that that would be enough to at least get to the consensus level for 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you. Chuck?
Thanks, Thomas, and thanks, everyone else. You know, I think Alan raises an interesting point. I hadn't looked at it exactly that way. But if there are two, it kind of makes sense to me that if there are two significant groups rather than individual interested parties or individuals that do oppose something, I mean, I personally wouldn't care if we changed it to significant or strong support with significant opposition. Obviously, all of this is a judgment call. And like I said, I'll go with whatever Thomas decides as chair. But I think I also tried to look for consistency. I missed this particular one, but I think that it's worth at least considering what Alan's suggesting.
Yeah, Thomas, I'm looking, for instance, at one of yours that you rated strong support but significant opposition. That is the INGO number one. And there, everyone supported it except in terms of groups, except the IPC had a divergence of views, and the NCSG is against it. So that's sort of one and a half against it, and that was a strong support but significant opposition.
Yes, The answer to that is that the registrars do not support it. And with these IOC recommendations, we know the registrars do support it. So I'd suggest that we try to deal with the areas one after the other. But I would be inclined to change the support level for all four IOC recommendations to consensus. Given the support from the ISPs as well as the registrars. And then you would also have your consistency with the INGO recommendation being strong support where the registrar support is absent. So it's a little less than.
Thomas, I will tentatively accept that, you know, with the proviso that I certainly want to be able to look them over as a whole, but I object very strongly to making a consensus call based on information which is not presented in the document that's being used for the consensus call. I'm happy with you to say the registrars support it and write a line saying they didn't send anything in, but based on previous discussions, we know they support it. You know, they can object or agree at a later date. But otherwise, there's a huge gap in between the document being presented and the judgment on to what extent consensus has been reached, which from a point of view of the historic record, you know, just is not acceptable. So I'm willing to accept your position of what you think their position is in the absence of them saying something, but that's got to be documented.
Yes, and I had simply hoped that the written feedback would have arrived on the mailing list before we did our call, as it was true for the ISPs who've just submitted their written feedback a few minutes before the call started. And you're certainly right that everything needs to be well documented, but I wanted this documentation to come from the organizations themselves rather than from me, but I would certainly be more than happy to add that should we not receive that information in time. Chuck, please.
Right. Chuck, again, I think you just responded in a way. Alan's given us an out here. If they don't get it in on time, we need to state what you did and what your perception of their support was. So I don't think we need to belabor this. We, either way, whether we get their input in a timely manner or we don't, we've got to work around on this. Is that right, Alan?
Well, either in the absence of knowledge, we ignore them, which is the only thing we can. Remember, these are consensus calls of the working group. If someone has chosen not to participate, we can't do a lot about that. And every working group has worked under those guidelines. If we believe they are participating to some extent but haven't responded to the consensus call, I'm willing to accept that Tomas summarizes what he believes their case is and that summary, which is used in the consensus call, in the judgment of what level of consensus there is, and at least there's something on record which someone can go verify, can deny, can follow through. But if someone was to challenge, the working group process is, if I disagree with Tomas, I can challenge him, and that goes up to the GNSO, if I remember correctly. What does the GNSO have to work from if it's purely, something which is in someone's head and isn't documented? How can they check whether the position taken was rational?
Alan,
all I'm saying
Chuck,
is we need something.
I support what you're saying.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying we either need to ignore it, their position, if we don't have one, or put something in writing.
And Tomas said he would put it in
writing.
Yeah,
no. We're violently agreeing with each other right now.
So let's move on.
Yes, I suggest we do move on, and just for your information, both the ISPs as well as the registrars have provided written input at an earlier stage. So there is already something that we can take information from. The situation with the BC is slightly different, and I mentioned earlier during this call that I had particular difficulty in factoring them in, which I didn't for a lack of feedback that we got as a group.
Thomas, this is
now,
Chuck again. I keep hearing you say IOCs. I think you mean ISPs, right? Am I just hearing wrong?
Well, maybe I'm articulating badly, but I will make reference to the ISPCP in future.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure I was clear. I think it's probably my hearing, so that's okay. Thanks.
But thanks for giving me the opportunity to clarify. So the three groups that we've been uncertain about were the registrars, the ISPCP, and the BC. And we have been able to check back with the registrars and the ISPs, the ISPCP, I should say. The ISPCP has since provided its written input. The registrars have confirmed that their earlier written input would remain unaltered, but I guess that will be confirmed on the mailing list. And for the BC, we are still uncertain as to what their position would be. And, the registrars have been represented by Mason Cole on this list, and the ISPCP has been represented by Osvaldo Nova, so it's not like we're trying to incorporate each and every group that has not been represented in this group. Actually, we'll be talking about two groups here that did have representation in this working group and also participated actively. Okay. I hope that the question of the IOC's recommendations is thereby clarified, and I would suggest that we move on to look at the General 2 IGO 2, sorry, I was too fast. So let's look at IGO 2, which in Alan's view should be strong support but significant opposition. So now we have the ISPCP supporting it as well. And Barry, please do remind me, this one was tagged consensus, right?
Correct, which I pasted over in the lower left.
And I guess the reason for that was that the registrars as well as the ISPCP provided support for it.
So this is Chuck. Isn't this a similar situation then, that you need to document that, like Alan suggested, which I think is right, and until such time that we get the official response from the registrars and maybe the BC?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd certainly be happy with that. I just want to make sure that no opposition against my assessment is developing in the background without my knowledge. Because I think, as I mentioned earlier, this is also an exercise that should have should be backed up by everybody in the working group. So let's move to IGO number 4 then. That looks like consensus to Alan. And with the registrars only also supporting it, and unless you object, I would suggest that we tag this consensus. And thanks, Ricardo, for also confirming this in the chat.
Tomas, this one was already consensus.
This is Barry. Oh. Yeah, Alan, your response in your email from yesterday, I believe, was that IGO4 said it looks more like consensus to me, but if I review through the document, it was already listed as consensus, but I just wanted to make sure we covered it
Let me see what I said then, because maybe I typed something wrong.
And, Alan, I have your response pasted in the left-hand pane below the working group guidelines piece.
Ah.
Or maybe you just want to compare
I must have meant 5, because on my piece of paper. Sorry, my notes just have a tick mark on your consensus on 4, but I do note on 5 that you did have strong support.
So let's finish off the discussion on number 4. So obviously, mistakenly, you brought up the issue of this not being consensus for whatever reasons, but we had consensus attached to it, and it should be consensus, right? And I see that Ricardo and Berli also support this notion.
As far as I can see.
Right, and this is Barry. I think the difference here why number 5 was listed as strong support, significant opposition, is because of the IPC statement not supporting it, whereas the ALAC did, and the NCSG was support with opposition. So that original indication was still strong support but significant opposition, and again, perhaps just like we've discussed with the ISPs as well as the registrars and BC, this may change, but we need the written response.
So are we saying this one remains strong support?
Well, I think it's a borderline case. So if the group is of the view that this should rather be support, I would not object to that. I would gladly take the group's advice.
Yeah, it's Alan again. I'm having trouble understanding what the criteria is. Maybe some groups have more importance than others in this rating scheme, and I'll grant that could well be the case. But what I see here is two groups not supporting something, which I think we're now using as a standard for consensus. So if that's the case, fine.
This is Chuck. Do we know the registrar's position on this one?
For the IGOs, Barry, do you have the information at hand? Because I would need to check back with other documents.
The determining factor in the previous ones was Ben knowledge of the RYSG position that, again,
yes,
the documentation is needed. But I don't know what the RRSG, the registrar's position is on 5.
Yes, and, my memory just needed a few seconds to dig it out, but the registrar had previously spoken out against acronym protection. And that was the reason why I tacked this strong support.
Yeah, but do we know, Chuck again, do we know specifically, though, that they were opposed to it being entered into the Trademark Clearinghouse? Because that's a little bit different than just supporting acronym support, as you know by the registry's position.
Yes, and I hope to get clarification on that very shortly, but the last written input, if I'm not entirely wrong, mentioned that there shouldn't be any acronym protections at all. So why don't we do the following? We, I want the group to understand or to at least not object and accept the assessment of consensus level that I came up with. So you were asking for consistency, and so let me ask you this. Do you think that the consistency that you're looking for is given if the registrars do not support this recommendation? And if this were the case, I would suggest that we leave this item sort of open, and either I will confirm in writing that the registrar's position is a do not support, and should they support it, then I will change the consensus level.
And help me out. What was your recommendation on this, Thomas? This is Chuck.
It's strong support but significant opposition.
So if they support it, you would keep that. What if they oppose it?
No, if they support it, I would sort of elevate this to consensus. And in the absence of their support, it would remain strong objection, but significant opposition.
Okay, Chuck again. So we would have, okay, the NCSG was split on this one, so that's probably why. Never mind. Okay, that's fine. So we have one,
thank you.
Chuck again. We have IPC opposed, NCSG split, and if the registrars opposed it, that would be a like 2.5 of the larger SGs or constituencies. So, okay, I'm okay. I think I needed to run that through my own mind.
Mm-hmm. So, I just wanted to confirm in response to Burley. I hope that I'm pronouncing this correctly, and Ricardo's comment that there's no consensus on that specific point. But strong support but significant opposition would also be a recommendation to adopt the recommendation. Okay, the next item on the list is General 2.
I'm sorry, Thomas, this is Barry. Real quick, I'd just like to maybe try to get some clarification for number 5. As particularly with the what we have listed as the IGO response. So the premise here is that there didn't seem to be support for reservation of acronyms, but there did seem to be more traction of allowing those acronyms entry into the clearinghouse for claim service. So I'd just like to have the IGOs or representatives of the IGO, and you don't have to answer it on this call, but respond back to the list. Essentially, I took the statement here as that you don't support this recommendation because you do support reservation of your acronym, but in the absence of a reservation being applied to an acronym, would you still support access into the clearinghouse? And I think that that's, you know, the important distinction here with this recommendation number 5. Thank you.
And this is Chuck. And if I recall correctly, in Durban, the GAC seemed to come around to some alternative ways for dealing with acronyms, like using Trademark Clearinghouse for that. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think, again, showing some respect to the GAC advice here, it seems like they kind of came around that they might be willing to accept that kind of approach as well.
And Chuck, I think in clarity, the GAC did discuss it. As far as I understand, they haven't supported that yet, and that the advice still stands, in which the board is still considering that advice with respect to the acronyms. But nothing definitive has been stated.
Thanks, Barry.
I have Alan and then Burley.
Yeah, I just turned the page in my document, and I realized when I had IGO4 looks more like consensus to me. That my error was that should have been INGO. So if you can scroll back and look at the number 4 just before the one we're on the screen right now, that's the one that I said at the time before you had ISBC and looks more like consensus.
Not sure I can follow. You are looking at INGO 4.
INGO, I had a typo. I left out an N in my memo. The screen was in the right place. Why is it moving again?
Because,
Alan,
you said it was INGO, and I'm moving to INGO.
Right, but I think
INGO number 4.
I think you were just there. No?
No, that was INGO.
We were still with the IGO recommendation number 4.
Okay, sorry.
Which we can get to, but I think we need to clear up number 5.
Yes, stay with number 5, and Alan, we'll get back to that.
Okay, sorry, I was...
Not to worry. I have Burley, maybe you can help me pronounce your name correctly.
Burley is fine. I'm Burley Acosta from RIPO. I just wanted to clarify again that at Durban, it is true that the GAC might have opened the door to a TMCH-like model, but when they did that, it was based on the understanding that the protection to be granted to both IGO names and acronyms would be of a preventative nature. So it's not the GAC did not say TMCH, we would be okay with that. They said if we do grant preventative protection at the second level for the IGO acronyms, we would be open to a TMCH-like model in case a legitimate registrant would seek to register a domain name that would be the exact match of the IGO acronym. So I think it's an important distinction to make.
Thank you, Burley. And I have Alan next.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. I thought what Burley just said is if we grant them protection, which I took to mean blocking protection, then it would be okay to put them in the clearinghouse. Is that what you just said?
No. What I said, well, what my understanding is from the GAC advice is that if there were to be preventative protection for IGO acronyms at the second level, the GAC was opening the door, and IGOs as well, in fact, because that was a proposal that came from the IGOs, we would be open to a notification process. Some of them have described that notification process as a TMCH-like model through which an IGO could be notified if a third party would seek to register a second-level domain name that would constitute the exact match of their acronym. In that case, the IGO would be notified, and the IGO would be in a position to either consent to that registration or oppose the registration in question. So that's the model the GAC Durban Communique foresaw. But it's not a TMCH model without preventative protection. The word preventative is all over GAC advice, both at the Toronto meeting, at the Beijing meeting, and at the Durban meeting. So it's quite clear that the TMCH model is only could only stand with preventative protection.
Okay, well, that explains the confusion, because that's not currently a TMCH function. The TMCH function right now, post sunrise, is to allow the registration if the person asserts that it is not violating anything. It also notifies the original holder, but it doesn't prevent there's no prevention. So this is a brand new functionality to the TMCH that was not discussed before.
If I may, just to clarify, I don't think it's the GAC itself nor the IGOs themselves who have labeled this notification process as a TMCH model. So if there's a misunderstanding, maybe it came from somewhere else.
Okay, I guess we need to end this discussion on the GAC advice here. Berlise, thank you very much for providing this information. I have read the Durban Communique, and this group has also deliberated on the Durban Communique, and it was from the words that were used by the GAC, it was not as specific as you now explain it, which is the reason why we, through our chair, Jonathan Robinson, through the GNSO Council chair, have asked the GAC to be ready or to work with us to further clarify these issues. I guess this is not the time to discuss what the GAC has meant. I understand that you are seeking preventative protections for acronyms. The working group has deliberated on these extensively. There has also been the discussion on permanent claims notices. There also has been the discussion on whether there should be reservations followed by consent by the organizations that receive protections, to consent in legitimate third-party use. All those proposals have been discussed and ultimately did not make it into the recommendations or the set of recommendations or did not qualify for consensus. So I would very much like to encourage the group to now focus the discussion for the remaining part of this call on the determination of the consensus level. Berlise, I'm not sure whether your hand is still up or whether it's a new hand.
No, it's an old hand. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Barry, you had your hand raised.
Yes, Thomas. So I hate to bring this up again, but I think this is very important for the IGOs to consider in your statement that was submitted for this Recommendation 5. I think everybody in the working group understands that your preference would be to have a reservation of that acronym. However, there doesn't even seem to be strong support for that. So in the absence of even strong support for that protection, would you still be against and being able to enter the acronym in for trademark clearinghouse and 90 days claim notification that there does seem to be support for? And so it doesn't need to be answered here, but I think it would be prudent to post to the list that possible clarification for any of these recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. This is Berli again. So we'll get back to you on that. I completely understand your point. On a preliminary basis, I would say that we would oppose it because we find it's not an appropriate level of protection. But let me, again, that's a preliminary view. That let us come back to you in writing in this regard.
Okay. So for the time being, we understand that the IGOs keep up their opposition to this recommendation. Good. Now, I guess we can move to the next item. And the next item actually seems to be the item that we mistakenly took as IGO number 4. So we're now looking at the INGO number 4 recommendation. This is the one that Alan thought should be consensus. And my assessment included the registrar saying no to it. But also in line with, Alan, please.
Yeah, I think we're going to need some more specificity on the weighting. Either we say, and I'm not going to fight it, I'm just saying we need to say it, that a registrar support or not support equals 2 ALACs or NCSGs or IPCs, or they're equally weighted, and in the previous cases we have said if only 2 groups object, then it's still consensus. You know, with some opposition. So, again, for clarity, we either need to understand the weighting between the various groups, or we need to apply consistency.
Yes. Well, consistency is certainly something that I would strive for. I guess the difference to the recommendations that we've previously looked at is that the IPC support is in square brackets, which I, you know, there are some recommendations that are support without square brackets, and then there are those with square brackets, which I understood as a little less than full support by the IPC. But I would certainly be willing to follow your advice here and change this to consensus unless Greg can provide us with more information on the consensus level inside the IPC. But while we're waiting for Greg to get back to us, let's hear Claudia.
Hello, Thomas. Claudia here. First of all, in general, I have to say, Thomas, really, we appreciate the work that you've done. I think in general, your assessment of consensus on most points is really spot on, and I can't imagine how difficult this was to weigh. That being said, I'd also like to just give some port to saying in terms of just to understand a little bit better and to have sort of an easy way to understand how you know, one support or not support turned into consensus or strong support. Just to get an idea of, did you look more towards the do not supports, and if there was 2 do not supports or 3 do not supports, that lend to something, or was it more a question of, okay, I see, you know, 3 or 4 groups supporting, and then that meant there was consensus. I really do want, Thomas, you to understand that we really do think that you did a very, very good job, but just on some of the niceties, some of the recommendations, it would be nice to kind of have a little bit of a better idea also so that we can make sure that it's fully consistent, if that's possible. Thomas, thank you.
Claudia, let's hear Greg first, and then I respond to your point.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. I'm trying to figure out what we meant by those brackets, but I would not read too much into them. I'm continuing to research that, and hopefully I'll have an answer before too long, but I don't think it was intended to imply some sort of qualified support. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Getting back to Claudia's question and also to the question or to the point that Ellen brought up, I guess there is no such thing, and I guess it's not feasible to have this breadcrumb trail in the process of evaluating level of consensus. As we discussed earlier on, this is an iterative process. You will remember that I did tests on the consensus level multiple times as we conducted our deliberations. So I guess you know there's a distinction between counting and assessing consensus level. If you do counting and if you maybe attach multiple or only one count to the groups and their respective sizes, then certainly you have something that is fully auditable. With the determination of consensus, particularly as it stems from an iterative process, there is no binary solution to that. So you can't say spot on, spot off, this is consensus and this is not consensus. I have, to the best of my abilities, taken into account the views of the respective groups that were voiced as well as provided in written statements in the course of our deliberations. Certainly, I also weighed the sort of the size of the community or the groups that have presented their views. So I guess it would be ignorant to say that the voice or the opinion of an individual would have as much weight as the voice of Alec or of the registrars. But on the other hand, it would be simply false to only go by the size of the respective groups, because I guess that it was Chuck who mentioned in the last call that the registrars would easily outnumber each and every other group in the community. So it's basically a mixture and an amalgamation of various factors, but certainly there is no clear and unambiguous solution to that. You will have you will remember that Chuck said that on various occasions he might have made a different determination, but that he would be okay with my assessment, and I guess we have to live with a certain degree of uncertainty or these ambiguity of the consensus level, which is why I have asked you repeatedly that I need your buy-in, I need your support with this, because as you can imagine, with this task in front of you, you are almost the loneliest person in the world, given the importance of this subject. Greg, please.
It's Greg. I've just gotten to the bottom of the brackets question. Just the brackets should be removed. They were tentative positions within the IPC, just based on trying to collate our earlier response from the public comment and collate it to the to this chart, which was somewhat different in nature. So, having received no significant objection to those supports within the IPC, those should be considered to be bracketless. Thank you.
Thanks, and let me suggest again that I would be okay with tagging item number 4, consensus. So this will be changed to consensus, and we should move to the next recommendation, which is general number 2. Greg, I understand this is an old hand, or have you raised your hand again? Thanks. Now, this is...
Thomas, real quick, this is Barry. just to put the working group members at ease, this version I haven't... We had a separation of tables from general recommendations, and then this one was originally titled recommendations that didn't receive enough support. Since we did the formal consensus call, those two had been collapsed together as one, and in the next version I'll make sure that they reflect that here. It's just not showing up on this version just yet.
Yeah, Barry, the number 2 I was talking about was the number 2 in the original list of general recommendations. So it is the second one labeled 1 in this case. The one that says top level protections of exact match.
Great, thank you.
So Barry, can you refresh the group's memory on the consensus level? That was the divergent.
Give me just a second, please. Yes, it is divergence.
This is Chuck. We have to be careful with this one because I think we're dealing with double negatives here on this particular table. These were not included. So when we say divergence, I mean, there looks like pretty strong opposition to this being included, which is actually support of not including it.
Again, Chuck, please don't pay attention to the title. For the consensus call, all of these were lumped in together under general recommendations, and I think everyone that responded, for the most part, did respond back to each of these individually. It's my mistake that in this version of tracking the individual responses, I did not combine those tables yet into the general table that all of the groups responded to. So please ignore the title about not receiving support, but for the registries, as an example, you guys did respond back stating that you didn't support this particular recommendation. So I hope that's clear.
We didn't support, this is Chuck, we didn't support it being included.
Right, you did not support the recommendation.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have any difficulties with tagging this in minority view.
But Chuck, again, so the conclusion on this is there's divergence?
Correct. And to Alan's response, and I think he put in here a general, should it looks like a minority view, and I'm assuming that you're stating that to the working group that the ALAC will submit a minority view about this recommendation. Is that correct?
No. No, minority view is one of the classifications of consensus. It's the one below divergence.
And this is Chuck, and what I'm thinking, looking at this, I'm seeing that it's, looking at it that way, that this is a minority position, not even divergence.
That's what I'm saying too.
Yeah, okay, good. Sorry.
I mean, the only groups that have that support this are the IGOs, and there's a divergence of view within the IPC. That sounds like a minority supported, but it has no more than that. Divergence says is sort of equal on either side.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy
with Alan on that.
And I'm okay with classifying this as minority view. And with respect to Ricardo, I guess the uncertainty came from the fact that divergence is a defined term in the working group guidelines. So we have so you shouldn't take it from the literal sense, multiplicity of views, but actually there is a consensus level or the lack thereof which is below divergence, and that is the minority view. And if the group thinks that we have less than divergence, then I'm happy reflecting that in the document. But Ricardo, you've now raised your hand. Please, fire away.
Hi, Thomas. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. No, I would still stick to divergence because we're talking here, and of course I'm not taking the literal sense here. I know what the rules of engagement are. It's really to say that we're talking here about a situation where you have no strong support for a particular position, but many different points of view. So we have a number of people or a number of groups or a number of stakeholders supporting such a recommendation. You have also a sizable number not supporting, and you also have a divergence of views as expressed by IPC. So Greg just said in the chat that you cannot count IPC as support or opposition. So this this multiplicity of views for me would be should be seen more appropriately as divergence instead of minority view. Thanks.
Thanks, Ricardo. Well, obviously we have at least divergence on how to tag this. My question to Alan specifically is, since Chuck has said earlier that he would be following my recommendations on this, is Alan, whether you would be okay with leaving this as divergence, or whether we should further discuss a solution on this one.
I just pulled up the definitions, and now I am confused, because what it says is it lists minority view as in the same category as full consensus, consensus, strong support, divergence, and then says refers to a proposal where a small number of people support the recommendation. This can happen in response to a consensus, strong support, but significant opposition, or no consensus, or it can happen in cases where there is neither support nor opposition to a suggestion made by a small number of individuals. I'm not quite sure what to make of this. I categorize that last phrase, it can happen in cases where there's neither support nor opposition to a statement made by a large number of individuals. I'm not sure. I can live with divergence. I'm not 100% convinced anymore that the minority view is one of the classifications based on the statement that it, and I'll reproduce this in the chat so other people can see it.
And this is Chuck. I can live with that too.
Thanks, Chuck. I have Ricardo again.
Thanks, Thomas. No, just to support what has just been said, when you look at the rules of engagement again, you see here that in all cases of divergence, the working group chair should encourage the submission of minority viewpoints. So we are exactly in that kind of situation in which, by which I would see that a minority view is not exactly a so-called recommendation or designation per se.
We may have a formatting problem in the work group rules.
Situation. Thanks.
Thanks, Ricardo and Alan. And as you will have seen from the assessment that I made, I did not specify any of the recommendations as minority views because I thought that the methodology would be more consistent by tagging the least level of support as divergence and then actually having minority statements introduced by those that support these minority views. But I would be more than happy to follow the group's view on that and also mention that in the assessment of the consensus level. But I think that the conversation sort of becomes mute now that we're starting to agree with each other Ricardo, I'm not sure whether this is an old hand or a new hand. Greg. Greg, maybe you're on mute.
Yes, sorry, I was on mute.
Can't hear you?
Yes.
It's Greg Chatton. I think it should be looked at like this, which is there strong support for the recommendation that top-level protections of exact match acronyms should not be included as strings ineligible for delegation? You know, that in itself, it's the flip of the recommendation that is placed here. But I think that if there is strong support for recommending that they not be placed in, then that is the way this ultimately really should be expressed.
Greg,
I guess,
you're sounding like me. This is Chuck.
I'll take that as a compliment.
And you should. Ellen.
Yeah, Greg, semantically you may be correct. If there's virtually no support for putting them in, then there is support for not putting them in. I think those are logically equivalent statements. So that probably means we should write the final report so it's understandable, and I can't disagree with that. In terms of the minority view, just to bring closure to that, I've now convinced myself that this is a formatting problem in the workgroup rules, and minority view should not have been bulleted like the other four classifications.
I think that's right.
That's not how the words read.
Not really a level of support.
Yeah.
This is Chuck. I agree. I'm looking at it right now, and I really believe it's a formatting problem.
And the workgroup rules were one of the few groups I didn't participate in, so I take no responsibility.
Nice one.
You should have participated, Alan.
Plus one.
Okay. So I guess we have to resolve this now. And Barry, if you could just... move the document to the next item that we need to discuss.
Yeah,
I think
Chuck on the next one, which is number two here, but is three in your consensus report. You had strong support, but significant opposition. I tended to agree, but Chuck, I think, said it may well be divergent.
Well, we discussed this earlier on, and I'm happy.
Okay,
to...
Okay, fine.
We've exchanged a lot of thoughts on how to come up with the appropriate results. So I'm more than happy to address that again. And I'm not sure, Greg, whether this is a new hand, and if so, it's your turn.
It's an old hand, thank you.
Then Mary.
Hi, Thomas. Hi, everybody. And I apologize if I haven't been following the last few minutes as closely as I should. I just wanted to clarify from the perspective, or really rather from the GNSO operating procedures, which includes the working group guidelines and the PDP manual, that there is a bullet point for minority view. I think Ellen and others are correct that the minority view does not designate a level of consensus, but it is a level of agreement or disagreement that should be in the final report, however worded. And also from the council perspective, I think those of you who have been on the council will also appreciate that will be useful information for the council, because in its deliberations, as is specified in these procedures, they are to take into account all stakeholder views and as many of the different perspectives as possible. So this is not to disagree with anybody, but just to clarify to the extent that any people who may not be as familiar with the standard methodology and the working group guidelines may have some questions about.
Thanks, Mary. That's been very helpful. Would any one of you like to comment on the fee waiver recommendation?
This is Chuck. Do we know? I see. Let me look at the. Can you put the? It looks like we don't have control over the screen anymore. Can you put that one in front of us, please? There we go. So the ISP said, no, they don't support that recommendation. IPC doesn't support. NCSG is mixed. We did not support it. And then there's mixed with some individuals and groups. ALAC supports it. Boy, this sure doesn't look like anything more than divergence to me.
And the registrars are also against it. So I open up the... Ricardo.
Hi, Thomas again. In response to Chuck's remarks, I'm also trying to get some clarity here. We're talking about point two on the screen, right?
Correct.
And I see here that we have one, two, three, four, five levels or 5 degrees of or stakeholders supporting it, and then one, two, three, four against. Then I ask myself this question. Are we talking here about support with significant opposition or just divergence?
Well, I guess that divergence is more than justifiable. And as I said earlier, this was one recommendation where I had considerable difficulty in coming up with a suggestion to the group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're factoring in the registrars also who do not support it, I think strong support.
Are we supposed to presume that, or?
Ricardo, I couldn't hear the last couple of words from Alan's statement.
No, I mean, just a question to Alan. Are we supposed to presume that lack of support from the registrars?
I think I heard that from Tomas.
Yes, and I can confirm that this has been conveyed to me orally, and we're waiting for written confirmation of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that, in that case, it would be divergence. Yeah, thanks.
So we would change that to divergence, and thanks for your contributions with respect to this one. And I guess we have one left, right? Is it number... the sunrise. Alan, you need to help me with this, because that stems from the days when you still thought that minority view was a consensus level, right?
That's right. I don't think there are any more left here. Not based on me, anyway.
Okay. In which case, I would like to open it up to the group to ask more questions about other recommendations. You know, on the mailing list, we also had interventions from the RCRC. Alan, please.
Yeah, I just one rewording, which I can do in writing if Barry thinks is necessary. But on the one with fee waivers for the Trademark Clearinghouse, I don't know what number it was. Where we said we would support it only if it's extended to... Fee waivers. I want to make sure that when this comes out, the but only part in the ALAC is factored in, because that wasn't part of the original proposition. And similarly, on the one on the trademark, on the permanent trademark claims, the way the IPC worded it is better than the way I worded it. That we said we support it only if. They said they don't support it unless. And I think their wording is better, so if you could use their wording for the ALAC, I would appreciate it.
Okay, I'll make sure to update both of those.
Okay.
Alan, okay, so Barry and Alan, you're going to work this out because I could not 100% follow, but I'm sure that Barry will keep track of it. Chuck, please.
I don't think this necessarily has to be stated, but I don't want to miss it either. Let's please make sure that on these, this general category that it's very clear, because when we who have been working on this are confused on this one, imagine what the possibilities are for the rest of the community.
Well, let's not renumber them halfway through the game is one of the rules.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't renumbered, but the charts did shift into one group. And I didn't anticipate that we'd be going through these in this detail again.
No, but they were one group in the document that of Tomas's evaluations of consensus level. They were all one group, numbered from one. In the document showing the summarizing the individual responses, collating the individual responses, they were two groups, and the second group renumbered.
Yes, which is true, but Alan, the reason for that reformatting is that actually one of the recommendations got more support than anticipated, so it was escalated to the ones that actually did make it to the consensus level.
No, this is Barry. Just to make it clear, the reason why they were being shown in two different portions is because it was me firefighting with the last-minute submission to get this up, and unfortunately I didn't collapse them into the same table that it was presented for the actual consensus call.
Barry, I've lived that world and sympathize. I'm just saying that's one of the reasons for the current confusion.
But to sum it up, we will make sure that the wording is unambiguous, so that no person unfamiliar with the work of our working group will be misled by headings and words. I guess it's time for me to thank you for your support with this. This has been very helpful. I guess that unless there are changes because of more statements coming in, we sort of have something that maybe not all of you are happy with, but something that that at least everybody can live with. I would like to use the remaining minutes in this call to talk about the work plan, but also on the framework or in the course of discussing the work plan, next steps and how this can be presented to the council. But Alan, I guess you wanted to add something, please.
I just want to add two things. First of all, I do want to thank you for all the work. I'm sounding very negative, but it's easy to poke fingers at the parts you don't like. I understand the amount of work you've put into it and do appreciate it. And the second thing is we've made a lot of substantive changes in this document, so I hope we'll have at least a reasonable opportunity to review this next version and make sure that we're nodding our heads properly. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan, for both of your statements. The time that you get can be seen from the work plan. And Barry, if you could give us a brief update on this one, that would be much appreciated.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. So as you'll see, we're on the 11th of September today. We've reviewed through the consensus levels. As Alan pointed out, things have changed. I sent out last night two versions of the draft final report. That was to include the levels of consensus for each recommendation. I need to update that based on today's outcome. I will be sending this out in the next 30-40 minutes. Specifically, Section 5 is what contains the consensus levels, and I will also include the updated responses by all the groups in a separate document. That's not part of the actual final report, but it is referenced to. It'll be posted on our wiki for anybody that wants to review the individual responses. When I send that out today, it will only include the ISPs. It does not include the registrars in the BC, as we're still waiting for those formal written responses. At any rate, you'll have the latest draft final report that has the proposed recommendations and the appropriate tables that was submitted for the consensus call. Again, that's Section 5. But I do ask all working group members review through the entire report because it has been updated to remove references to the initial report to state that this is a draft final report. And as you know, per working group guidelines, we need to submit this for a public comment period, just like we did with the initial report, for a total of 42 days. So we will have a meeting next week to provide the opportunity for working group members to put any last-minute input into this draft final report. In the meantime, please use track changes to submit any changes that you may have to language or suggestions or changes that you may have to the language in the report, and I will collate those back into the master. We will meet again next week to review the final changes and any other last-minute discussions about the level of consensus that's contained within the report. And hopefully with everybody's agreement, we can initiate the public comment period next Thursday, the 19th. As you will notice that the reply period closes the exact time frame that we have, the 31st of October council meeting. So we have missed the opportunity to have the council deliberate this. Presently, it still shouldn't stop Thomas from briefing the council on the recommendations that are loaded in the report, but do understand that that's only a briefing to inform the council. It has no impact on the final report. The last thing that I'll state is once the public comment period is closed, the working group will have one more opportunity. We have to have one more opportunity to review the comments that were submitted, make any final updates to the final report, or adjust any of the recommendations based on the feedback from the community. And I forgot to mention one other thing. It's clear that there are several groups that will wish to submit minority statements. What you will not see in this version is I have not imported those in yet, but there is the opportunity to provide those to me, and I will get them loaded into the subsection of Section 5 for the recommendations themselves, so that those are directly correlated with the recommendations that exist within there. The deadline to have any responses back or any suggestion changes to the report will be Tuesday at 1600 UTC. As well as if you wish to submit a minority position statement, that has the same deadline. That should allow me about 12 hours to get all the changes incorporated into the master and also make sure that we have the minority positions in there. I do ask that for those that are submitting minority submission, that you try to keep it as concise as possible. If a recommendation is in support of what of the protection that you agree, there's no reason to restate that. The minority position should only be for those recommendations that you don't agree with, and so that we can try to keep them concise as possible in terms of the rationale why you think it should be supported or not. But what I hope to avoid is 3 pages of a minority position statement when it can be condensed to maybe perhaps a couple of paragraphs and concise to the recommendations themselves that there's disagreement with. So I think that's all that I have to state for now. I'll put all of this into an email, and like I said, I will get all these documents out to you within the next hour and a half to 2 hours for everybody to review and consider.
Thanks so much, Barry. I know that it's ambitious, and Alan has called this a dreaming in Technicolor. Some of us do remember what Technicolor is. I guess that, you know, two or three observations. The timing for the conclusion of our work is ambitious. Nonetheless, I guess it's imperative for us to do it right rather than fast. I would very much like for the group to be seen to be successful with its work, to be able to pass on the results of our work to council, as you can see on this plan. So I guess that, you know, in case we see difficulties with, for example, analyzing a public comment, we may well call for a longer meeting. You know, the last UNISO council meeting was scheduled to take 3 hours and not 2 hours to make up some time and get work done because there was no meeting in August. So I guess we should try to find solutions to deliver on time, yet not neglecting that our work should be of highest quality. I'm very conscious of time, but I would like to briefly respond to an issue that has been brought up on the mailing list with respect to the role of the council, of the GNSO council with this, and whether the council can pick up recommendations and say yes to them where the working group has said no. And there was a question of the role or no role of the GNSO council to make policy. I guess that there's no doubt that the role of the GNSO council is not a policy-making function, but a function of steering and managing the policy development that's taking place inside the community. In order for enabling the council to adequately reflect the views of the whole group, we do plan not to ask the council to vote on the report and adopt the report as one. You know, that's the usual procedure, that you would adopt the final report and the recommendations therein. But we would rather stick to the idea of slicing it so that the council gets the opportunity to also have a vote on the various recommendations inside the report. And that would also allow the GNSO council to actually adopt a recommendation that did not receive full support, or that did not make it to consensus in the course of our deliberations. So, that, you know, this is to give more flexibility. You know, we have multiple recommendations on the table with multiple different outcomes with respect to the consensus level, and we also want to pass on flexibility to the council in that regard. And you should take this as a concluding remarks for today's call. I thought this was a very constructive meeting, so thanks again for participating in that and helping us taking a further step in our work. We will hear each other again at 16 UTC next Wednesday. Thanks again, and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.